Chapter 17. Shocked silence filled the room. Josephine lifted her chin, stared defiantly up at me, let go of her hands, held them out at her sides, and then opened her palms to us as a sign of no ill intent. I had no idea why the blonde heiress would want such a thing. My women may have loved their lives, but their human existences before were miserable, and that's why they clung to me so fiercely. "Josephine," I began, "why would you ask for such a thing?"
"It's hard to explain, Charles. Is it selfish of me to say that my life was horrible? Probably. You're a man, and your treatment is so much worse than mine. But I'm surrounded by other women all day, every day, and all of them believe things that I don't. I hear them talk about how they treat their workers, servants, and consorts, and I wish for nothing more than to run away. I'd like to disappear from this life entirely. Yes, I have my work with HU, but that's something so small and it barely makes a difference."
"That's not true. When we visited your mines, there were hundreds of men there. Knowing the information that we do now, you saved all of those men from horrible deaths at the hands of other aristocrats. That's no small feat, Josephine. You snatched these lives up from the black market without any of the other women knowing. You gave them homes, food, and work. You saved them, and they love you for it. We saw it while we were there."
"Maybe it's because I'm so used to it I don't see it. My life seems so meaningless, so insignificant. I beg of you, please, turn me into a beautiful monster girl, too. That's all I want. I'm sure this isn't what you expected when I showed up at your doorstep, but speaking to you and your women, finding out everything you've been through, well, it makes me want to be a part of it even more. The life that all of you share, I want it too. I want to be a sister and an integral part of your family unit. Please."
"I don't want to sound hateful, but you're an aristocrat, Josephine. A wealthy, noble aristocrat, and you have everything you could ever want at your fingertips. Once you're transformed into a monster girl, you lose all of that. Look at me. Part of me came from Delphine Valentine, yes. I inherited some of her mannerisms and speech patterns. But her manor? It sits empty at the south edge of town. No one lives there now, and unless another aristocrat purchases it, it will crumble into ruins. I have no right to that home or the riches that she earned during her lifetime. If you become one of us, you lose absolutely everything. Not only the physical objects, but your memories will be erased. Not all of them, yes, but most of them. When you've emerged from the machine, I doubt you'd remember me, Valerie, Ryan, and Charles. None of us remember those things. Delphine and Hortensia had the most interaction with Charles in our past lives, but we don't remember him."
"I know that you're trying to guide me away from the idea, but have you considered that a fresh start is what I want? Maybe I don't want to remember the life that I've lived. If I go through with the experiment, I won't remember that I was born a woman into a world where men are treated so terribly, or that my mother has gotten so sick from tuberculosis that I'm no longer able to visit her because I might contract it too. Maybe I don't want to remember the things I've seen when I put on the hood, mask, and dive deep into the tunnels of the underground black market. There are so many reasons why I would want this to happen, and you are the only people that can give it to me. Please, change my life and make me into your newest monster girl. That's the only thing I won't."
The blonde aristocrat's reply stunned my women into silence, and I finally knew that it was my turn to speak up. I wanted to give the heiress what she wanted, I really did, but right now it would have been too much to handle all at once, and I needed to explain that to her. "Josephine, I understand that this world is too much. I understand it more than you will ever know. But this isn't the solution to your problems. In fact, if we did transform you and make you part of the family, it would only cause more problems for us."
"No, it won't. I can write a letter saying I ran away because I'm a harlot or something like that. Or Or we could make it look like another suicide, and I sign over all of my earthly treasures to you and your family. There are so many options or routes we could take to cover this up. Please, Charles, I need this more than you know. I need some sort of relief.
But transforming you into a monster girl won't solve any of those things, I replied. Yes, it might take away all of the memories, but once you become a monster girl, there is no going back. Your hardships will be even worse. You will come into this world as a new being with absolutely nothing, no ties to a wealthy, known family, but not only that, you won't be accepted into society as you are now. Daisy is the only one of my monster women that can go out into public with me because her ears and tail are easily hidden under clothes and bonnets. Ryan and Valerie, they can't. The only reason they were able to go to your party was that it was a masquerade and people were expected to wear elaborate costumes. When Daisy and I go into town for anything, Ryan and Valerie have to stay here. There are no exceptions. The aristocrats would take one look at them and know that they aren't normal.
So, you're saying that you won't do it?
Josephine whimpered, raised her eyes, and wiped away a single tear.
You won't allow me to join your family? I see the love that you have for each other, and I long for it, Charles. I saw it before I even knew the whole situation. The first time I witnessed it at my mind's, I wanted it for myself. Please, I just want to be loved by you and your women. Allow me into your family. That's all I ask.
If you're still asking to be turned into a monster girl, no, I stated. I can't do that in good conscience. Not now, of all times. Hortensia committed suicide barely a week ago. Don't you think it'd be a little too shocking for another well-known aristocrat to kill herself?
Well, that's why I said I could write a letter. I'd write a letter, as you did with the chief constable. I even have proof that I'm part of the HU. We could leave that out in the open for the Duchess to find. No one would bat an eye if I were gone.
But don't you see? It all falls apart after that. Not only was Edeny still suspicious that I was involved with Hortensia's death, if you went missing or died, all of the blame would be placed on me again. Josephine, I don't think you understand the amount of power you hold in your hands. And no, I'm not talking about your actual abilities. You're a high-powered aristocrat. I believe at this time, with Delphine gone and your minds, you could soon be the richest and most powerful underneath the Duchess herself. You do know you could do something with that ability. You could make some changes in this city if you really wanted to, and you have. You've saved hundreds of lives in the black market, but there is always more that you can do.
What are you trying to say, Charles? That you're rejecting me from your family? You won't allow me to be part of this even though I want to be so bad?
I never said that. I shook my head. I simply refuse to turn you into a monster girl.
Then what are you trying to say? I mean, if you want Josephine to be a part of our family, then let's do it. I understand that we can't make her into a monster girl, but there has to be something.
Please, let me be a part of your family. As a monster girl, with a new beginning, please. Charles, I beg of you.
No, I uttered. The single word resounded around the room like the crack of a whip. All of my women turned, stared at me with open mouths and wide eyes. Josephine shuddered, weaved in her seat for a second, and then fell forward. The blonde aristocrat buried her face into her hands, sobbed into her palms, and shook with desperation. I wanted to reach out and comfort her, but I knew right now wasn't the best moment. Deep within me, I knew that I couldn't turn the heiress into a monster girl. All of the problems that we'd finally overcome would pop up in our path again with renewed strength.
What? You won't?
I'm not going to turn you into a monster girl. Yet, I grunted. It'll happen eventually, but right now it's too soon. Once things have died down, I will happily do that for you. But I've just learned some new information about the Duchess's plan. I would have too much on my plate with that and dealing with the repercussions of creating a new monster girl from a well-known aristocrat. Do you understand?
Yes.
The heiress smiled through the tears.
Thank you, Charles.
There's no need to thank me. But since we're not doing it now, I have an idea.
Ooh! What is it, Charles? Tell us! Tell us! Tell us!
We all know that Josephine is a high-powered, popular, and wealthy aristocrat, I smiled. As I already said, her prestige is on the level to be comparable with the Duchess's. Josephine has the power to persuade people, an ability that you and I don't have. Yes, Daisy comes from a powerful family, but she doesn't have any standing in Edenheart. She wasn't born or raised here, so the people won't trust her as willingly.
So, Josephine is our ally, and what else?
If she's willing, our tool. We can get information from anyone we want with her on our side. Josephine, think of it as an extension of HU. We can work together to change the duchy for the better.
What? What do you mean, Charles? What would we be doing?
I need more information from the Duchess, I stated. She's told me her plan, but I don't know when they're going to start executing it. They haven't tested it out yet, but I know they're going to soon. We need to find out when. Something like that, I nodded. I'm sure she wouldn't be willing to tell you. She already knows that you have a close relationship with Daisy and me, but...
My power! I could force her to tell me everything!
I didn't tell you earlier, but we came to your party partly to get information out of Lucien with a truth serum I concocted. Unexpectedly, the Duchess drank it too, and I learned of their new plans. Edenie and Lucien told me everything, except for when they were going to start experimenting. I need that information. The Duchess has to be stopped, Josephine, and we can do it together.
Do you think it'll work? I know that my power works well, but Edenie is strong. Stronger than anyone I have ever met. What if she resists me?
Can anyone resist you?
Well, no. When I was growing up, my mother was willful and wanted me to do things the second she told me to, but I was stubborn. A lot of the time, I would use my power to trick her into thinking I'd done what she'd asked.
Will she remember that you questioned her? That's what I'm most concerned about. Charles said that the truth serum would block the memories of the questioning if the dose was big enough. That'll be more like a distant dream that she can't fully remember. With your power, will she remember you asking her?
If I will it, then she won't. The thing about my power is it isn't all about controlling the mind. It's more of controlling the muscles and organs of the body. And what's the brain? Gray and white matter with a bit of muscle tissue thrown into the mix. It's a bit difficult to explain. The mind is where my power manifests, but it's almost as if I transfer my consciousness to their body and can use it as if it were my own. Every memory, every moment or word they've spoken, I know it all.
So, when you moved my arm back in your tent at the mines...
Oh, you're wondering if I peeked into your mind. No, think of that as something like muscle movement. I didn't control your mind, but only your body. If I wanted to control you, say the things I wanted you to say, or do the things I wanted you to do, then I would have to dive deep into the confines of your mind.
I was worried for a second. If you knew all of this information already, we wouldn't have needed to tell you everything just now.
No. If I'd known then, I would have run to you with open arms and begged to become part of your family. I had no idea. I only thought you were a scientist that got on the Duchess's bad side. I lusted after you, of course, and dreamed about being your mistress. But even that isn't real.
It's only real when we're out in public. At home, Charles and I are equals. He's the one who created me, and I love him more than life itself. It's just kind of funny. Josephine fell in love with Charles, and she's the only one here who doesn't have a droplet of his blood in their veins.
That's very true. But attraction like this happens naturally. Of course, I thought Josephine was beautiful from the moment I laid eyes on her. But in our society, I couldn't tell her so or act upon my feelings.
Well, I'm glad we've gotten past that point. I've pined for you long enough. Isn't that romantic? I'm so glad that you're here, Josephine. I'm a little sad that we won't get a new monster girl, but you get to be my sister anyways. This is so exciting! So, Charles, what do we do now?
I think you should become my mistress, I uttered. Or something like a benefactor. Not unlike what Edeny was to me for a long time.
What? Your mistress? Well, isn't Daisy already in that position?
Not if you buy her out, I grinned. Isn't that the proper way to attain a consort? I know to buy out the consort directly is frowned upon, but if you purchase me from Daisy Browning, none of the other aristocrats would ask questions.
That's very true. But what would the meaning of this be? What would change except the person who owns you?
Well, before, when you begged me to change you into a monster girl, I started, you offered me your money and your manor. If I become your consort, then they belong to me too. Well, not technically, but to us in secret they will.
Or you could become something like a courtesan. That way you wouldn't have to sever ties between the two of us.
Courtesan? I murmured. I don't think I've heard that term before.
Oh, yes. It's something new I learned about the last time I went to the capital. They're male consorts shared by different aristocrats. They draw up contracts with two or more women, visit them on certain days of the week, and, of course, service them. They even join the mistresses out in public to parties and other things like that. We could set it up to look as if you were a courtesan. But not only that, if the other aristocrats hear about it, they'll be even more interested. Anything new from the capital spreads like wildfire. The best part of it is the men who are courtesans are paid 3 times as much as an average consort. Consorts are paid? I thought you set up a contract with them and then they just did stuff for you. Well, it depends entirely on the consort. Some of them want protection, which is the guise I assume you used for you and Miss Browning. Many of them use it for home and board. If it weren't for their mistresses, a lot of them would be homeless and jobless. Some of the consorts receive allowances. I've never owned any, but I did have an ongoing contract with a young man from a good family in the hopes that he would give me an heir. He's lived in a small cottage on my property for about 2 years, and every month he paid a visit to the manor house at a specific time of the month.
Josephine, I must ask you, have you ever conceived?
Sadly, no. It's been 2 years, and I'm unsure if the issue is with my consort or me. I had to let him go because it was pointless to keep him around if I couldn't get pregnant.
I also have something to ask. If you were to have a boy, would you have kept him or sent him away to the boarding schools that Charles told us about?
That's a tough question to answer. I would like to think that, yes, I would keep my child if it were a boy. But if the other aristocrats found out that I'd kept and raised a brute in my home, I would be outed as a harlot. None of the other noble women keep their sons. They toss them away to boarding schools as soon as they emerge from their bodies. I like to think I would have kept it in secret, raised it as a stable boy or something like that, and watched over him. We all know if that were to happen, I could never be his mother. No man or boy in this world has a mother. They are nothing more than birth givers, and no one will see it otherwise. I know once I slipped up and called one of Liliana's children her son, and all of them turned to me with such angry expressions. Thankfully, I covered it up like a slip of the tongue. But if they hear me talking that way too much, I'll be exiled. Or even worse, sent to an insane asylum for being a harlot.
Charles will spawn a child with you. He has promised all of us marriages and children, and we wholeheartedly trust him. He wants nothing more than to make us wives and spill fertile seed in our wombs.
I wouldn't put it so plainly, but it's true. I have promised them that. In the future, I will marry them, make them my wives, and give them as many children as they want.
Josephine? I actually have something I have to admit. What is it? I'm all ears. I was there when they went into the mines, and I kind of, sort of, snuck into your tent a few times. You did? Or find anything interesting? Well, I may have accidentally opened a trunk I found under your bed. Oh? Oh.
The aristocrat flushed 3 different shades of red.
So you found my Harlequin romance novels. Your naughty books. I may or may not have read them all. Did you like them?
Josephine asked. The blonde heiress didn't seem upset. In fact, she leaned forward in her seat, clasped her hands together, and grinned over at Valerie. I'd thought for a moment that she'd be upset, but the gorgeous aristocrat wasn't that type of a person. Though I did hope that Valerie wouldn't tell her she'd read her diary, that probably wouldn't go over well.
I did! They had so much romance stuff in it. None of the books Charles has in his library have any kissing or sex. I especially like the one with the girl named Verona and the man named Raphael. That one was so good and exciting. Oh, yes. That one is a classic. Splendor in the Vineyard is what it's called. All of those books have been passed down in my family for generations. They were originally my great-great-great-great-grandmother's. I have more in my library back home if you'd like to take a look at them. Yes! I'd love to do that! Maybe I could write some, and we can add them to your collection. Of course! That sounds wonderful to me. Maybe when we have some downtime, we can write something out. But right now, I think we have something on our hands that's a wee bit more important. You're right. Go on, Charles. I'm sorry I distracted everyone.
No, it's quite all right, I smiled. So, we'll say that I'm your courtesan, and I work beneath both you and Daisy.
When should I go see the Duchess to get the information that you need?
As soon as possible. I stood from the arm of the couch, came around it, and then leaned my palms against the back. I'd say within the next few days. I'll come to visit you 2 or 3 times during the week, or if you'd like, you can stay the night with us at the manor as much as you want.
I'd say I'd like to live here, but you and I both know that's not possible right now. The other aristocrats would think it strange and suspicious. It'd be best if we went back and forth between my manor and yours. I'll send a courier to Edenie's duchy tomorrow. If I don't hear back from her by the afternoon, I'm sure that I can visit her in the next coming days, and I'll get the information you need. Wait! You're leaving? I think for tonight I have to. Don't worry, I'll be back, and we can spend as much time together as we want to.
Josephine stood from the couch, smoothed out the wrinkles in her skirt, and then smiled down at my 3 women. The blonde aristocrat seemed to think for a moment, but the light in her eyes had changed from earlier. She looked happier, happier than I'd ever seen her before. Josephine stepped around the coffee table, gazed at me, and then offered me her hand. I took it in my own, supported her elbow with my other hand, and then pulled her to me. The heiress gasped lightly, giggled, flushed red, and then leaned her head back to look up into my eyes. I wanted to kiss her, but I wasn't sure if it'd be right. Would she accept it, or was it too soon? Before I could move a muscle, the aristocrat rose on her feet, closed her eyes, and brought her lips to mine. Electricity raced through my body, slammed up my spine, and raised goosebumps all over my flesh. When she pulled away, a light chuckle slipped from her lips. She turned, patted Valerie on the head, stroked Daisy's cheek, and then gave Ryan's shoulder a tender squeeze.
Once I hear back from the Duchess and visit her, I'll come over right after and tell you everything I've learned. Don't worry, Charles. I've waited for a long time for the downfall of the Duchess, and it seems it might just happen because of you. So because of that, I must thank you.
For what? I asked, pressed my fingertips to my lips where she'd just kissed me, and smiled down at her.
For giving me hope. I've spent my life hoping that Edenie's time and power would run out. And here it is, all because of you. Even if we have to kill the Duchess ourselves, we will see the beginning of a new age where men and women are allowed to love each other. It's all thanks to you.